Welcome to Building Fortunes Radio. Make sure you check us out at buildingfortunesradio.com. Along with our marketing partners, we're here to help our PM Marketing Network Lead customers build their businesses and make the world a better place. At Building Fortunes, we know how much your business means to you and the people important to you. So spread the word, tell a friend, join our newsletter, and go make a difference in your world. Now on to our show with your host, Peter Mingles.
Hello, everyone. Peter Mingles here. You're listening to us on Building Fortunes Radio. It's www.buildingfortunesradio.com. It's a Saturday night, 8:30 p.m. Eastern, 7:30 p.m. on the Central side. And we are here every Saturday at this time, almost always live. Very rarely do we have to do a recording, but for the last, I don't know, 8 or 9 years, Scott Johnson has had a radio show on Building Fortunes Radio. And some people that are new might wonder, well, how did this whole thing got started? And I would say, I'm glad you asked. Scott called in to a afterwards to me specifically, because my phone number is all over the website, on buildingfortunesradio.com. And it was just after a radio show that I did with Roger Van Vlissingen and a gentleman named E. Robert Smith. And they were critical on MLM. And these are the smart guys on the being critical about MLM, because they had really valid points as opposed to the whinies and the people that don't know what they're talking about, like the academics who have never spent a day in the field or just read books about MLM. They were real critics on MLM. And I said, you know, why don't we do a couple of radio shows? And after that radio show, Scott called me up, and he said, there's a lot of things that people get, you know, in common about this anti-MLM stuff, but there's something a lot of people completely miss. And I said, what's that, Scott? And he said, the tools scam associated with MLM. Now, I never heard of the tools scam specifically before, but I was with Amway 3 separate times, and I quit Amway 3 separate times, mostly because they really weren't focused on selling a product or a service. They were mostly interested in me recruiting, which wasn't really an issue for me because I was a recruiter, if you will, in the direct sales management profession. It was their biggest focus was not on selling products. And I said, why wouldn't we, to myself, why wouldn't we focus on selling products? That's the only way we're paid. And then after, realizing that, wait a minute, there's an additional revenue stream coming in. It's just that we are not part of it, meaning the systems that are in place. They were making money on their books that they were selling to me in their downline, the tapes, which was CD tapes way back then. That tells you how long ago it was. They were making money on the functions. If I bought pizza at a event, someone in Amway was making money on it, but not the people in the crowd. They were making money on everything that we would call the system. So that's why I quit. So when Scott said something about the tools scam, I was wondering if that's what he was referencing. And cutting this short, the answer is absolutely. So we started doing some radio shows, and I'm going to kind of cut my introduction short because Scott and I can go on and on and on about different things and different companies and stuff like that. But today we have a special guest. So I want to honor the time he's giving us because he's pulling over from wherever he's pulling over from. And I want to say, Scott Johnson, thanks for being here on your own radio show. And for those people who are listening in, you could always go to buildingfortunesradio.com, then search for Scott Johnson, or you could just go to buildingfortunesradio.com/Scott-Johnson, or you'll be able to go to the website that Scott's going to give you during his introduction as well. So, Scott, thanks for being here on your own radio show.
Hey, Peter, thanks for having me. I'm going to make my intro as short as I can, too, although there's a really interesting development this past week that I want to at least mention in passing, and that is there was 2 letters that came out from the FTC. One of them was for the DSA, the Direct Selling Association, which is the MLM lobby organization. Basically, it's Amway, Herbalife, and the other large MLMs funding a lobby organization. It's called the DSA, Direct Selling Association. And also, there was a letter sent to the, see if I can get this right, DSSRC, which is a sort of oversight organization that stands with 1 foot in the Better Business Bureau and the other foot in the DSA and looks for egregious violations, I guess you could say, in the MLM landscape. And they have reported, I think, somewhere around 20 of these truly egregious examples. And to my knowledge, the FTC has not done anything with any of them. So there might be some things going on behind the scenes, but not publicly, as far as I've been able to tell. So there's a lot of dysfunctionality going on. But I just wanted to mention in the letter to the DSA, the main issue that they brought up with the DSA is that the DSA is misconstruing a 2004 letter, and they said, we're going to rescind the letter because you guys are misusing it. And the other thing that they said very strongly is you guys need to get off this 50% retail business, which I think is a huge mistake. I'm going to be contacting the FTC pretty soon to discuss that with them because they want to make it a lot more complicated, like we've talked about on this show many times, than it needs to be. Now, the letter that went to the DSSRC, apparently the DSSRC is putting out guidance for MLMs, and part of that guidance included some really soft words around the overhead costs to the distributors, in other words, buying tools, for example, in Amway. And the FTC said, you need to be a lot more explicit. You need to really define quantitatively, you know, how much money does a typical person have to spend in overhead costs, you know, via tools and other overhead costs, you know, what I consider legitimate, like travel and meals and hotels and things like that when you go to functions. But those are the two letters that went out. And there hasn't been a whole lot of response. I think I saw a couple of YouTube people make some comments. I think there was a law firm that made some comments. But I was also perusing the Neora lawsuit, and it reminded me that the judge in the Neora case actually used that 2004 letter and also some 2018 guidance, similar guidance, against the FTC in the New York case. So, like I say, this is a dysfunctional world. It's a mess. And unfortunately, there's just not a lot of common sense and people who have actually been in MLMs and know exactly how they work being directly involved. It, like you say, it's these academics and these so-called experts that most of them have either never been in an MLM or if they were for a very short period of time, and they just don't get it. So I can assure you our guest tonight gets it. And I'm excited. And let me mention my Facebook page real quick because that's where you're going to find a lot of things. You'll find three websites. You'll find the link to this radio show in case you don't remember what Peter said earlier. You'll find a link to a Rumble video that was done by a guy that was actually in the tool scam company that our guest was in. He made some really outrageous statements. It's about a 9-minute video. And he says on two different occasions, the sole reason we have tools is to help the new IBOs become successful. And it's been well documented. You can see on my websites that these people make multiple times more from the tools than they do from the Amway business. And you mentioned the tools, Peter. I mean, the recent incarnation of tools is still books. Instead of tapes like cassette tapes or CDs, most of them are, you know, MP3, MP4, electronic downloads. But there's phone apps, there's voicemail, there's website access. There's all kinds of different meetings that you pay to go to. And so it's a very lucrative business from the standpoint of the profit because only the top 1% are making the profit from the tools. It's not like Amway where if somebody buys something, it benefits them and everybody in their upline. When you buy a tool, it only affects the top 1% and really in a major way, the top 0.1% because those are the people that are making multiple times more from the tools than from Amway. So you'll see several examples of people making those statements. Of course, they're all after they got kicked out of Amway. You won't see anybody saying that while they're in Amway because their business would evaporate. So that's the tool scam. And the reason it's a scam, because I don't have a problem with people making money. Come on, this is America. You know, free enterprise, you know, capitalism, all that good stuff. The problem is they don't talk about it. They give every indication that their success came from Amway, you know, all of their goodies, all of their yachts and mansions and jets and all the, you know, goodies that they like to talk about and show off. But most of the money that bought those things came from the tools. That's the reality. So, you know, when this guy makes a statement that the only reason we have tools is to help the IBOs make a successful business, that's just a bald-faced lie. You know, it's not a lie of commission, right? He did not say something that was false. It's a lie of omission because he left out the little factoid that most of the money that he made or she made came from the tools, not from Amway. So that's what makes it a scam, is the lack of being honest about where their lifestyle came from. So I'll stop there. Like you said, Peter, we can go on and on about this stuff. But those two letters are really important, I think. I hope they're important. It kind of reminded me of the 2016 when Edith Ramirez, the FTC chairperson at that time, after the Herbalife and Vima settlements in that year, came out with some really strong language. And then in a month or two, she was gone. She left the FTC. So I don't know if these letters are similar. I think it was Lois Graceman or something like that is her name. She's pretty high up in the food chain in the FTC. I'm just wondering how long she's going to be there because it just seems like there's this pattern of when the FTC, you know, learns something and makes some statements, the key person leaves. The same thing happened with me with Janet Ammerman, the lead attorney for the FTC against Herbalife. We had a couple of good conversations about the tool scam, and then she leaves the FTC, and it went nowhere. So that's kind of a pattern that has developed. And we'll just have to wait and see. You know, the FTC likes to bark. They don't bite very often or very, very effectively, particularly recently with the Niora case. But, you know, stay tuned. We'll see what happens. Anyway, I'll stop there because we do have a great guest. I've talked with him before, earlier this week, I think it was, and he's got a really good understanding. He's a great guy, and I just wanted to welcome him to the show. And before I turn this over to him, I wanted to just mention real quick, I've mentioned this to him before, his name is Mo Mohammed, and we had a, I guess it was a, what would you call it, a memory aid. And when I was in Amway, my upline was the Jaeger organization, and this memory aid, it was like a 2 or 3 sheet piece of paper. It had a bunch of names on it. It had a bunch of occupations on it, and it was intended to help you remember somebody that you know, because, you know, if you just sit down and say, okay, who do you know? Well, you know, you draw a blank. And so this kind of goes through, you know, do you know a butcher? Do you know a delivery guy? Do you know a truck driver? Do you know an engineer? Do you know, whatever. It goes through all kinds of different occupations and names. And the title of it was, Who Do You Know Named Mo? And I never knew anyone named Mo. And I don't count the Three Stooges. I never knew them. but I can guarantee you that Mo has it much more together than the Mo and the Three Stooges. And that was just, it just kind of tickled me with that memory aid that we had, Who Do You Know Named Mo? And now I know someone named Mo, so I'm really happy. But anyway, Mo, welcome to the show. Good to have you here. If you could just sort of tell us a little bit about yourself, you know, as much as you want to talk about, you know, what do you do? What were you doing when you were approached by Amway? You know, how did that whole process work? and just kind of get us started like that. But first of all, welcome to the show, and go right ahead.
Well, thank you, Scott. I appreciate it. Yeah, you know, you definitely raised a lot of good points, and I agree with a lot of them. And when I was in the beginning, when I was approached by the Amway business, it was like through a high school friend of mine. And it was like a year or so right after I graduated high school. And, you know, I was still trying to figure out what I was going to do with my life. You know, I considered going into the Air Force. I considered, like, doing a few other things. But in the meantime, I got introduced to the Amway business. And, you know, I tried to make it work. And it was really fun in the beginning. You know, I love the environments. I love the info sessions and the conferences. And but later on, as I tried on my own to do anything I can to, I don't know, sponsor a few people and actually get the ball rolling with you know, with my business, and things just didn't work out. And to this day, I started learning a lot of things that, you know, they keep hidden behind the scenes or behind the veil, or through a few people, I learned that things are not what they seem. You know, it's definitely weird, you know, because I matured through that environment. You know, I grew up in that environment, and it's just disappointing how, you know, when you find out something like this, it's it just makes you go wow, you know.
Yeah, when things aren't as they seem, because we all experience that. You know, I experienced it. Peter did. You did. Everyone does, and they're really good. I mean, they're, you know, what I call evil genius. I mean, they're talented liars, and one of their big advantages, in my opinion, is. They get people like me and you who don't know the rest of the story or didn't know back then to basically be their front people, right? And you're going out there basically parroting what they tell you to say, and what you're saying, unknown to you, is wrong. And so it comes across as very forthright and honest, and, you know, it really is a good message. The problem is it's not the accurate message. But people like me and you don't know that. And so it's really a perfect way to lie, to get someone else to tell a falsehood, and that person doesn't even know they're telling a falsehood. And so they don't act nervous or, you know, like they're trying to hide something. They're very much forthright, and they really think that what they're saying is true. And so it really is an evil genius. That's the word I like to use, you know, to describe that, because they do a really good job of doing that. Now, you are currently in a job, but for a lot of the time that you were in Amway, what was paying the bills for you?
Yeah, I was just working every day, trying to keep up with. Making sure, like, hey, got to make sure you keep your volume, like, done every month, and also paying your own personal bills. And, you know, there were times where I was hopping from job to job, and, you know, I would get approached by my upline, and they would be like, are you getting your volume done this month? And it would be just, like, month after month, like, are you getting your volume done this month? You know, it was weird, you know.
And what was the goal? Because you were with one of the tool companies that's run by Larry Winters, although I think recently he's kind of backed off. I don't think his health is very good. And Joe Markowitz, who's the guy I mentioned in that 9-minute video on Rumble, which again is on my Facebook page. I encourage people to watch that video and just see that guy lie through his teeth. But you were in an organization called LTD, Leadership Team Development, and we've had several people on this show over the years from LTD and from Worldwide Dream Builders, not so many from Britt or Jaeger for some reason, and I think it might be because those organizations do a better job of making it such that the people leaving decide it's their fault, because they're told that all the time. I mean, I was told that all the time, and I'm sure you were too. You know, if you don't succeed in this, it's your fault. You know, you didn't work hard enough, didn't have a big enough dream, all these kinds of things to try to convince you that you are the problem versus the way the business is being done is the problem. So now I thought you were, I might be confusing you with someone else, because I talk to a lot of people all the time. Weren't you a bartender at one time?
No, actually, I was, I was working fast food jobs, and during the pandemic, I went to trucking school and got my CDL, and I've been trucking it for about three years now.
Okay, so it was somebody else. Okay. Yeah. I was talking to somebody who was a bartender, and interestingly, you know, a lot of the Amway business is done in the evenings, and so I asked them, well, how could you possibly, you know, do the Amway business being a bartender, because you're not available? And and they told me, well, you know, I made sure I had, I think it was Sunday and Wednesday, or it was a couple days of the week, I made sure I had those days off, and then I also used my sponsor to show the plan during the week, and that's, you know, how they made it work out. So everyone's got a different, you know, story as far as what they were spending their time on as they were trying to do the Amway business. Now, in LTD, you said they kept, you know, making sure you were doing your volume. What was the recommended volume for a single guy?
Well, back then it was, for a single guy, it was like 150 PV. You know, that was the standard, which, you know, probably equated to about $300, $350 or something like that.
Yeah, and that was a few years ago, right, that was in place? Yeah, so the current PVBV is, for every 100 PV, it's about $300 plus of cost, because there's a point value assigned to the product, and then there's a cost, and the cost is the BV. And so if you're being told, hey, you need to do 150 PV, that's about $450 a month just for stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Which I don't think most single guys use that much stuff. I don't know what all the organizations do. I've heard some that do 300 is the recommended volume. Others are 100. Jaeger, when I was in, was 100. They did do a one-year-long promotion right before I found out about the tool scam. And so the promotion was to do 300 PV every month, which is a lot, even back in the 90s, when the ratio was more like 2-to-1, it was still the equivalent of, you know, $300 for 100 PV today. Now, I had a young family at the time, you know, we were able to consume a lot of stuff. And so it wasn't like we were filling up the garage. You probably heard the term garage qualified. Now, were you able to actually hit that 150 PV every month? Was that a real stretch for you, both financially and just the products? I mean, how could you consume that much? How did you manage that?
Oh, well, it was a little bit of a stretch, but I was able to consistently do it. I know there were a few months where, you know, I wasn't able to, and I tried selling some of some stuff to my family members. I've tried selling some stuff to my a few friends of mine that decided not to join the business, and that's how I was able to get it done.
And there is a minimum in Amway. You're required to do 50 PV, which is about $150 plus in today's pricing, in order to get your downline volume bonus paid to you. If you don't have that 50 PV, you're not supposed to get paid. Now, I can tell you from my experience, they pay you anyway because they don't want to lose you, right?
Right, yeah.
they want to keep you in, and so they don't worry. They don't pay attention to that rule, put it that way. Were you able to do 50 PV anywhere near consistently?
I know that I was able to do that much in customer volume, which, you know, we all know, like, all that customer volume comes out of your personal volume, which basically means you're the one buying it, not actual customers. And they just say, like, report it as customer volume. Just report 50% of that, you know, or 50 PV
right.
or whatever. And
so you were allocating 50 PV of your personal purchases and making it look like a customer. I was told to do the same thing, to basically manipulate the computer. But I guess my question was, did you have legitimate 50 PV per month sales to real customers actually buying the stuff?
No, all you have to do is like just get a name and number of someone that you know and put it into your profile on the Amway website where you report your customer volume and there you go. You know, you got your customer volume. And that's how I was able to get it done. That's how a lot of other people get it done. I'm assuming that's how they tell them to, you know, how to do it in the Amway website.
Yeah, I mean, that's obviously not a legitimate customer sale because that person never actually bought the stuff, right? That was your money.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and I was taught the same thing. Now, where were you taught that? Was it in a one-on-one with somebody or in a group or a large meeting? What kind of environment were you in when you were taught to basically fabricate customers?
They would talk about it during the info session training, but they wouldn't specifically say like you know, yeah, you can just take it out of your personal volume. I learned that part from my people in my upline, and you know, I was told you can make it work that way without actually having to sell to real customers. I'm like, oh, okay. And, you know, I would still qualify for the bonus at the end of the month.
Right. Yep,
yeah.
Exactly. And how big of a group did you have at the peak, let's say?
I'm sorry, say it again, Scott?
Yeah, how many people were in your group at maximum at any given time?
I didn't really have anybody sponsored. I was by myself, like, for the majority of the 10 years that I was in. I think I only sponsored like one or two people, and then like a week later they would quit. Or, you know, they would just turn out to be duds. And but you know, it seemed like a lot of the leaders made it easy to actually build a team.
Right. Yep. Well, in your experience, it's like most other people, there's nothing unusual. Most people don't sponsor other people. They're just there for the volume, you know, for the upline, and not just the Amway volume, but the tools, right? Because they make a whole lot more money on the tools than they do from Amway. So yeah, they want you to do your volume to make it look like you're in business, but they really clean up on the tools. Would you say you were a dedicated, loyal tool buyer?
Yeah, there were times when I, you know, wouldn't buy tools, but there were times where, like the very first few years, I bought a whole bunch of audios and books and I just listened to pretty much all of them, and you know, at the end of the day, still I was still struggling to, you know, with my finances and being able to do volume at the same time.
Right. And did you go to the major functions?
I did, yeah. I tried not to miss a single one because they always tell you, you know, always attend everything that you qualify for. And I pretty much attended almost every single conference.
And where were those located? Because you're basically in New York State. Where were those major functions located for you?
Well, the smaller functions would be located in Louisville, Kentucky, and the bigger ones, which we hold at every spring and every fall, they would have them somewhere like Peoria, Illinois, or Cincinnati, Ohio, or Greensboro, North Carolina. Just all over the U.S.
Yeah, so you had to travel from New York State to all those places, and the cost of travel, hotels, and meals. So it's not just the tickets. Now, I've also been told by a very reliable source, who I believe is going to be on next week, that not only do you pay a lot of money for these things, but the upline is not paying for it themselves. Let me explain. The major functions, they get those venues for free. They don't pay for the venue. What happens is they get to use the venue for no cost. Now they bring in their pyrotechnics and their, their speakers for the music and all that kind of stuff. So that does cost some money, but they don't pay for the facility. They just share on the concessions. And they also don't, when they tell you your recommended hotels, then they also get a cut of that. So they're making money hand over fist, and not even spending money, essentially, and telling you that this is designed to help you without telling you those little interesting details that I think most people, if they knew it, they would say, I'm out of here. That's just the way it is. So, there's a lot of subterfuge, lying, whatever you want to call it, going on here with these different tools and so forth. Now, when you were in, did they have physical either cassette tapes or CDs?
Yeah, they actually had CDs their very first few years when I got started, and then they later on moved to digital recordings. Like on your phone, they had the LTD app and LTD messaging app and whatever, and you can actually go in there with your credentials and, you can buy audios on there, which, I was told by someone that, digital information doesn't cost anything. It's free, and they're still, having people pay for them. And, what you were saying about the venues and whatever, that's pretty insane. Like, I never really knew that.
Yeah, I had suspected that for some time, but I never, was able to talk with someone who was in the know, and that's why our guest next week, I hope, that she's going to be on, that's the plan, can expand on that, because she was a diamond in LTD, and she can expand on that. Now, when I say in LTD, there's so many more similarities between the different tool scam companies. The differences are actually pretty minor. They're all pretty much the same. They all came from the Jaeger Britt Foundation, and they copied all of the, whether it's the philosophy, the language. There are some minor differences in language, but essentially they're the same. When you boil it down, they're essentially the same. So. It's quite incredible. And most people don't know this when they're in Amway. They just don't know because it's not talked about. I do think the internet has helped a little bit in exposing what's really going on. In fact, Amway today is about half the size that they were when they peaked in 2013. When you correct it for inflation, Amway has shrunk by about 50%, which is good. It's just not good enough in my mind. So yes, there's things going on that have helped, help people not join basically, or if they join, then they come across this information and they say, hey, I'm out of here. So those are all good things. But until it goes away completely, we haven't achieved the goal, I guess you could say. Hey, Peter, did you have any comments or questions for Mo?
Well, Mo sounds like a really nice guy. This is the first time, of course, I've heard this, and there may be, you know, more to the story that we'll hear, maybe based on the question that I ask. But Mo, you had mentioned, you know, a lot of people, if they were joined, they would quit relatively quickly within the first couple of months. What made you stay? So what was the reasons that maybe, or the thought processes, if at all, you might have had along the way, and why did you stay for so long, and what eventually was it that made you quit?
Oh, well, like during the beginning, you know, I saw the bigger picture. You know, they would like talk about in the info session or at the conferences, you know, they would talk about, you know, you can have time, money, and freedom, you know, and to me, it's like, you know, who doesn't want that? And judging from how the business works, you know, in the beginning when I was showing the plan, the sales and marketing plan, you know, I told myself, yeah, who wouldn't want to join this? You know, I'm going to tell everyone about it. I'm going to tell all my friends, all my family, you know, everybody's going to get in. This is great. This is going to be great. Yeah. And it, you know, didn't really work like that. And, I knew that, you know, anything that's worthwhile takes hard work and patience, and, you know, and that's true in anything that you do in life, you know. And, you know, I kind of knew that in the beginning, just long enough to stay in. And, after a while.
You kind of resold yourself on the potential, and you could see it, but you figured, okay, I just got to work and stay with it because I could see it. I mean, I could see it. And the reality was, is just because other people weren't buying or joining, that didn't ever change the idea that, wait a minute, I could still see this as being a viable vehicle. I just have to figure this out. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but it sounds like, you know, you could see it right away. A lot of people couldn't, maybe, but you just stayed with it because you could see how this could work. And then there was a disconnection between what you could see and what was actually happening, but you didn't want to quit. Is that more or less the way
definitely.
It was?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Okay.
You know, I told myself, maybe there are some people out there that are just like me. You know, there are some people that are going to see it and some people that won't. And
right.
You know,
when you go to a function, there's hundreds of other people that validate what you see. Like, how come I can't,
right.
I should be able to find some of these people as well. Like, if there's that many people here, somebody found them. I'm one of them. I just have to go find them myself. And then when you go look for them, they seem to be elusive.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, they would tell us during the conferences, like, you know, you got to dig for diamonds. You know, they're not going to be, you got to dig through all the dirt first. And I'm, you know, I'm like, all right, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to, you know, I'm going to do this.
Whatever it takes.
Yeah. I assume your upline in LTD said things like, this is not a get-rich-quick scheme. It, you know, it's a get-rich-slow scheme is what Yeager talks about. And, you know, a lot of people that criticize MLMs use that term. They say, oh, they're being told it's a get-rich-quick scheme. And that was not my experience. You know, a lot of it was also directed towards personal growth, which of course is what the tools are for, and so you had to become a better person in order to be able to recruit people. Was that part of the LTD approach as well?
You know, I could see that, and I could, you know, definitely say that. And you know, sometimes they would make like the platinums and emeralds and above, they, you know, they would prop them up, and you know, they would say, yeah, see, I mean, look at them. The business works, you know. It works for all, you know, people of all backgrounds and ethnicities and whatever. And, you know, I'm just like, oh, okay, that's pretty cool. You know, maybe, you know, this is like the only way for me to actually have time and money. So I'm going to put everything else aside and actually pursue this.
Right, right. And the part that Peter was asking about also, you know, what happened that sort of turn the light on and made you decide this is not the right path?
I've had a curiosity, and I've learned a lot of things like in the past, like watching documentaries and stuff about a lot of certain topics that, like, you know, history or the history of, like, masonry. And, you know, these are, like, all other tangents that you get into when, when you're, you know, digging for more information about Amway and LTD and whatever, and who the founders are and, you know, where they came from and who they work with, basically. And I came across a couple by the names of Judd and Kara Ayers, and I'm really grateful for them. You know, I'm really grateful that they, you know, they were in the business and they kind of saw all these things that, you know, you don't really notice, but they're, you know, they're there. They put it in your face, you know, and they meaning like the people that run Amway. And you know, I found out that they got involved with you know, pretty like shady things like going on during the Trump administration. And you know, I'm sort of that guy that's, you know, all for freedom and, you know, I'm pro-life, pro-Second Amendment and whatever. And, you know, I saw that all these things that I, you know, value and treasure, like, they were under attack by, you know, people that are behind the veil of Amway. And, yeah, I'm not sure where I was going with that, but,
well,
I started
kind of
learning about it a lot.
That's an interesting thing. So
yeah.
What were the types of things? Could you give us an example of what they might have said? Like, was, I'm going to fill in the blanks, was it about election fraud, which I'll just give you my bias, and I believe there was a ton of election fraud. Was there the idea that there's a uniparty system where both Democrats and Republicans themselves are kind of part of the same corrupt system? I'm kind of that part too. So is that conspiracy? Or then you have, like, you know, there's little green men that are 6 miles down and some of them are, you know, shape-shifting aliens and reptilians. So this is a vast dark hole. What kind of things were they talking about?
Oh, well, yeah, it's quite interesting because I found out that they, you know, were tied with donating money to Mike Pence to, you know, overthrow Trump and to essentially impeach Trump and things like that.
So
like,
they were anti Trump people.
Oh yeah, for sure. You know, they were.
Oh wow.
Anti everything that we on stage on LTD that we would preach about. You know, the leaders would preach to us about, you know, freedom and free enterprise. And it seemed like Amway was doing the exact opposite of that. So, you know, in my mind, it makes sense. You know, it's like, why are we working with a company that, you know, doesn't represent our values?
Right.
And, you know, because we have a partnership with Amway, we're supposed to, as IBOs. And, you know, that might not mean a lot to, like, some other IBOs that are, you know, just starting to get the ball rolling with their businesses. But, you know, I was just in long enough to actually see how those things could be of importance. And, you know, like, some of the top leaders, you know, they might, like, not talk about that stuff on stage, but it's all in play right now. And
you mentioned Judd and Kara. They were your upline platinums, right?
They were actually part of the same diamond team. They just weren't in my upline.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
And that was that Doug Weir's organization?
It was, yeah. Right under Joe Marcos.
Yep. The usual suspects.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, you know, if they're capable of lying about lack of retail sales, which, by the way, is an illegal pyramid, and they're lying about the money they make from the tools, which I think is RICO fraud or at least business fraud, you know, when you don't describe the business model to someone that you want to go into business with, you know, to me that's simple business fraud. It's a no-brainer. And, again, very disappointed with the FTC for not even acknowledging that issue. it really is an amazing thing, you know, that they just ignore it. So Peter, I hope to get Judd and Kara on the show to more fully describe the things that they've done research on, because it's a lot. And I told Judd this, I think I may have told you too, Bo. I said, you know, I don't know if all that stuff is true or not, but the way I look at it is, even if Amway and the upline took all this money that they're making, you know, from both the Amway products and from the tool scam, and they gave it to a real legitimate, you know, a bona fide organization, you know, a charity, and just gave it all away, there would still be a problem here, because that was ill-gotten money, right?
Right.
The tool profit is basically dishonest, because people are not being told, oh, yeah, we make most of our money from these tools, by the way. And also, when they teach people how to fake out the computer, like I was taught years ago, and you were taught, and many, many other guests on this show have been taught the same thing, then that's fraud, right? That's just wrong. And so to me, that's far enough. Whether all this other stuff is true or not, in some ways, doesn't matter, because all of the money is already dirty, even without all those other things going on. And all those other things, to me, are gravy. And it's pretty delicious-looking gravy, I have to say that. Because they've done their homework and looked at a lot of different aspects of this. So, that was really interesting, because I've talked to both of them on the phone, I know that they're being honest in their ideas, that they brought this up to the upline, you know, to the Joe Markowitzes, to the Doug Weirs, I guess the Larry Winters, I'm not sure. And they basically got ignored. And so then they started talking to their downline. And that's how the word got out. And then they were kicked out of Amway, essentially. Or they resigned. I'm not sure exactly what the process was there, but I think they got fed up with it and decided to quit. And now they're, you know, voicing all of these concerns. It's really interesting to see all the things going on, particularly with LTD. I mean, LTD is really in the news right now. You have to go look for it a little bit. It's not in the mainstream news. Hopefully sometime soon it will be. You can find it. You can use Google, LTD, Amway, look up Larry Winters, you know, do some searches. His name is Judah, J-U-D-A-H. He goes by Judd. And Kara, K-A-R-A. Their last name is Ayers, A-Y-E-R-S. Let your fingers do the Googling, and you'll see a lot of stuff out there that they've identified as being suspicious, and then getting the brush off from the upline, which I think, just me knowing how these people are, it's obvious that they're going to brush them off, because anything that gets in their way of making money is bad. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter what it is. It's bad. It doesn't surprise me they ignored them. But now it's kind of blowing up in their faces. So we'll see where it goes. But I don't know. Did you have any other comments along those lines, Mo?
I was just, you know, really grateful that Judd and Kara spoke up. And that's essentially where I got exposed to, you know, how all this was working. And, you know, it kind of like opened up my eyes. And, I try to think about it this way. If I was in the business and, like, I was building the business and, you know, I didn't know about all these things happening, I would be set up for, like, you know, a lot of disappointment in the future, you know, and I'm thankful that they spoke up when they did, because, you know, it really opened up my eyes. So I'm thankful for them.
Yeah, and you know, when I found out about the toll scam in 2005, because my Upline Diamond, Bruce and Wendy Anderson, were kicked out, and he started a blog, I was really glad I found out about it, because I had been in Amway for a dozen years at that point, you know, feeding the beast, so to speak, and I had no idea until, you know, basically he got kicked out and started to put stuff on his blog, which is since been taken down. I think Amway and him had a, you know, some legal wrangling going on, and part of the agreement was to take down the blog. So it's not there anymore, unfortunately. But the knowledge that I have from that blog is alive, plus a whole lot more that you'll see on that Facebook page I mentioned, with the different websites and so forth, the YouTube channel. I mean, my phone number's there, my email's there. Everything is there that you need to know from my perspective. And I always tell people, Mo, I said, look, don't believe me. You know, look at the stuff I have, but check out other sources as well, and see if I'm believable. Now, I know I am, but don't just go by one source. You know, get multiple sources. See if you can corroborate, you know, different sources saying basically the same things. That's when you can have confidence that something is true or not. And I do pride myself in, you know, telling the story. In other words, I don't make stuff up. I don't exaggerate stuff. I don't need to. It's just the raw facts. And, you know, when these people give an interview, for example, there's a guy by the name of Brig Hart. He's my favorite guy I talked about with the tool scam. It's B-R-I-G-H-A-R-T, Brig Hart. He got kicked out, I think, early 2000s. Well, he gave an interview to a Salt Lake City media outlet back in the early 2000s. And basically what he told them, this is in the article, you know, not from me. It's in the article on the Salt Lake City website. That he made almost $1 million a year from Amway, and he made $8 to $10 million a year from the tools. And wow. he was saying that in the context of, see, this new MLM I just joined, it was Monavie, that MLM has been absorbed by another one. I can't remember. There's so many changes that go on. But he said, you know, Monavie's pay plan is so much better. And these are my words. I don't have to scan my downline on tools, is basically what he said. And then he threw out those figures that I just mentioned. And so that's one of several examples of other people saying similar things. His is the most extreme, because it was, you know, 10 times plus that he was making from the tools. In other words, if you said, hey, would you want to give up your Amway money or your tool money, it would be an automatic, well, the Amway money, it's peanuts. Compared to my tools, even if it's $1 million a year, it's peanuts compared to what I was making on tools. So that's the kind of figures we're talking about. And these are the, you know, statements from people who are actually making the money, not from little old me saying, I think this is what's happening. I don't have to guess. I don't have to make stuff up. I don't have to exaggerate. All I got to do is say, see what that guy said? See what that guy said? And on and on. So that's how I approach it, is very much, here's the facts, you know, help yourself to either refute them or verify them. But those are the facts as I know them. So, so great. I just wanted to, kind of get your thoughts on when you quit, what happened as far as, I mean, when you quit, did you basically ghost everybody, or, you know, did they try to get you to stay in, or how did that whole process go at the end?
You know, I tried to, you know, spread some information, and, you know, I never really sent some negative messages or anything to anybody, like, oh, like, Amway's such a this, and this, like, you should stop and, like, leave them and whatever. And, you know, I would simply just share posts on Facebook. And, you know, I think I got a little bit of backlash on that. And I had a few people unfriend me or block me or whatever. And, you know, I just kind of laughed at that. I'm like, wow, people are, they've been so conditioned to actually think a certain way. And, you know, one of my uplines actually called me on the phone for a good hour, like over an hour, and trying to explain, like, you know, it's all just creating division, you know, everything that I'm sharing on Facebook. And I'm just like, well, maybe you see it that way, but I want to know the truth. You know, all I'm doing is, you know, spreading information that, you know, people can decide for themselves what they want to think. And, you know, I'm not going to, you know, share something that I know is not true. That you know, that's for sure. And, I've had some people, like, just, I don't know, stop talking to me, or, you know, it's interesting, you know, it's weird at the same time. And,
it doesn't sound like it bothered you a whole lot, because, like you mentioned earlier, Mo, you know, one of the reasons you stayed with Amway was because of the values that were being talked about from stage, you know, from the upline, and you aligned with that, and that was probably part of the reason you stayed in, which, same with me. That was part of the reason I stayed in as well. And so then when you find out that it's really the exact opposite of what they're talking about, you probably didn't really want to be around them either. Is that kind of accurate?
Yeah, definitely. You know, sometimes whenever I sent a message to my upline, I'm trying to get some clarity on, you know, a lot of these different topics that I, you know, started learning about from Judd. And my upline would just tell me, like, without even, like, looking at the information, they would just tell me, like, why are you sending me this negative message? And, you know, that was interesting to me. It's like, wow, like, you know, people will literally not look at information, but, you know, they'll just tell you, like, hey, no, you're wrong. This is not true. You know, so it was interesting.
Yeah, you would hope that they would engage with you to explain why whatever the particular is, that it's untrue, but all they kept coming back with was that's negative, which, again, you have to understand the Amway definition of negative, which is anything that does not support Amway's message, you know, buy the tools, buy the products, basically. If it doesn't align with that, if it strays, if it diverges, if you change the subject, so to speak, then you're being negative. And that's the Amway definition of negative. So it's an interesting definition, I have to say. But that is how they view anything that does not align with the business that they're promoting, which, again, is the products and the tools. If it's anything else, then it's a distraction, and it causes what they call division. Even if it's accurate, it's still dividing people's attention, I guess you could say, from the main goal, which is buy the products, buy the tools. And so that's just how they roll. I mean, that's what happens. You know, that's the mindset, I guess you could say, of the upline and the corporation, to be quite honest. That's, in fact, I heard the term negative when Amway sued me several years ago, and the rules supervisor, at one of our hearings, we never went to trial, we settled out of court, but at one of the hearings, and I can't remember the specific, but I had never heard this from an Amway employee, but she mentioned that I was being negative. So, thinking, wow, I wonder who taught who. You know, did this start with Amway? It was taught to the upline, or vice versa, or did they just get together and, you know, kind of come to an agreement on that, on the meaning of that word negative? because all I was doing was informing people too. I was informing people, they were advertising online, which is against Amway's rules. I informed them that the upline is making most of their money from the tools, and then I copied actually this woman, the rules supervisor, on every single email I sent out, saying here's another IBO that either doesn't know or doesn't care that it's against Amway's rules to advertise online. And so so at one point during the hearings, she was on the stand and said I was being negative. So it really is amazing how their definitions of words are quite unique. To fit their needs, right? Peter, did you have anything more to add?
No, there's a lot of similarities, of course, in this business model to what we see in other areas of our life. So it's not necessarily unique. It's human nature, and it's specifically paralleled in our political structure. You take a look at what's going on with politics, and you have a few select people that are making a boatload of money on a whole bunch of other people. They're corrupt till all get out, and they're blindsided into their culture where they can't really see or care what they're doing. People that don't care about the little guy don't really matter because they're more interested in their own self-interest, and they'll do and say whatever they have to, whether it makes sense or not, to get ahead, and they'll hold on to power as much as they can. So it's the same thing that happens in, in our political system. That's why we just passed a $1.2 trillion budget that nobody's read with a ton of special interest in it that the majority of the people will pay for and the minority of the people are going to be able to take advantage of. So there's a lot of parallels. Amway is just one more of those parallels, unfortunately. And, they're good at what they do. There's already a proven business model behind what they do. And Mo was just giving us his example of that business model. What really sucks is that they're so good, that evil genius that you referenced, Scott, at disguising the business model, what they're pushing and promoting to that are nice, hardworking, not interested in rocking the boat, just want to follow the proven system because they've been told about this proven system and you shouldn't doubt it and you just have to follow our lead. So there's trust in there, and it really sucks that people take advantage of people's niceness, their trust, their super-duper hard work, and unfortunately years of their lives that are or could have been spent, I won't say wasted because it's still a learning experience, but could have been invested in areas that were done with, good intent as opposed to bad intent. So that's the only thing I want to mention there. And Mo, I appreciate you being here and, spreading your experiences and your word as well.
Yep. Thank you for the time, Peter. And
you're welcome.
And, I look forward to hearing from you again.
Yeah, I wanted to pull the string a little bit, too. And I don't really care what your religious preferences are, Mo, but I know in my upline and I know in LTD and actually all the other major tool companies that are out there, whether it's Network 21 or Worldwide Green Builders or LTD or Brit Worldwide or Jaeger, it goes on and on, that the particularly the Christian religion is pushed very hard. In fact, I would assume LTD has a Sunday morning service. Was that your experience?
Yeah, actually, we had that definitely on Sundays, and I hear that they're not actually doing that anymore, which is kind of interesting. I was actually saved at one of the conferences, and I'm glad that I made that decision.
Yes, I don't have a problem with promoting Christianity. It's just the people promoting it that are totally dishonest. That's the problem I have. It's not the idea of Christianity. I'm a Christian myself. But when you start finding out about who these people really are, you think, well, are they really a Christian? I mean, they say they are. But then their whole life is basically based on a lie. Right. How can that be considered to be a Christian? Those things don't mesh for me. So it's one of those things that I think, and that's interesting that they don't have the service anymore. I wonder if Amway put the screws on them a little bit. Even back in the day when I was in from basically 1993 through 2005, as far as when I was active, when I was a true believer, so to speak, that they had the services back then. But even back then, probably especially in the early 2000s, maybe even the late 90s, the word went out from Amway. Now, you know, this is not a Christian organization. We don't think that there's a single religion that needs to be promoted, and all these things. Now, they say that, and at the same time, the Amway people like Rich DeVos and Jay Van Andel, the two founders, were very active in a ministry called Gospel Communications, I believe was the name of it. And in the early days, you know, like in the early to mid-90s, they would be promoting VHS tapes, if you can remember that far back, if you're old enough. and they were creating those, you know, to basically around the world, you know, promoting Christianity. And later on, I think it became a little bit more high-tech. But eventually, I think the organization went away. I think it dissolved. But they were very much involved in that, and they would even talk about that at major functions. So there was always this sort of dichotomy of, you know, don't do this, but we're going to do it. You know, don't be political, but we're going to give millions of dollars to our politicians. You know, it was almost like they were the adults and you were the children. You know, when you look back on it, you go, wait a second. Now, if you guys are allowed to do this, why can't we? And of course, there is a good logical reason that you should not do that. It's because it lessens your pool of potential prospects, right? You don't want to get people mad, and you don't want to, you know, get a bad reputation for being whatever, you know, that people want to criticize you for. So from a business standpoint, it makes total sense not to get into that real heavy, but they still get into it real heavy themselves. So it really is a interesting thing there. Now, another thing I think you told me about this recently was, and correct me, I might be thinking of someone else, but apparently Amway now has a payment processor that they use to pay out the bonuses. Do you know anything about that?
I think it's called HyperWallet, and you know, Judd talked about it a little, and when it first came out, I decided not to sign up for it because it just seemed a little fishy to me, to be honest.
Oh, it was an option, huh?
Yeah, you know, it was kind of like if you don't sign up for it, then, you know, you're not going to be able to get any bonuses or anything, and, you know, that was like for life, you know, it's either you have to sign up for it now or that's it, you're never going to get paid again.
Oh, well, that's a pretty good incentive to use it then. That makes it a requirement. In my mind, that's a requirement. Was there any explanation on why they went in that direction?
No, not really. I mean, I think since, you know, Joe Markowitz is the chairman of the IBOAI board, I think he was the one that came up with that, and he kind of just made it mandatory, to my knowledge, for everybody to, you know, use it. And, you know, I think it's owned by PayPal, which is owned by China, the CCP.
Yeah, that's another one of those threads, Peter, that Judd and Kara have pulled as far as who controls that payment processor company. That's one more of those items you can throw in the bucket as far as being suspicious. Peter, you deal in this all the time. Have you ever heard of that outfit? You there, Peter? You might be on mute.
I muted myself out. HyperWallet, I think, is just a product from PayPal. So to the extent that it could be tied into anything that would be nefarious would be somewhat suspect because it's a PayPal product. The problem that I would have is because it's a PayPal product, and PayPal doesn't usually like MLM. So people that might be having their payments through an MLM processed by this HyperWallet might be somewhat suspect, and I probably wouldn't do it just for that reason itself. PayPal is not multi-level market company friendly. So as far as anything else, I don't know if there's anything bad about HyperWallet. Now, I'm going to say, knowing the Amway people or the Upline people, they don't do anything for free. So in a lot of these payment processing things, there's usually a percentage that's taken from the participants, meaning if you get a check for $100, it'll cost you $2 to process your check, or, you know, $1 to process a deposit, or, you know, an extra 30 cents per transaction. And those fees might be divvied up somewhere internally inside the organization. I do not know if that's the case with HyperWallet, but even if it wasn't, I probably would have not been comfortable with it because somebody else is still processing your money, which means somebody else can still hold your money. And basically, if somebody else said that you violated maybe something in the terms of service or somebody complained about something or whatever, either right or wrong, your funds could be held. So I'm not crazy about somebody else holding my money. I don't need them. I don't need one more company or person to be a custodian of my hard-earned dollars. So that's all I know about HyperWallet.
Yeah, that's interesting. And do you remember about what year this was, Mo, when this started?
I believe it was 2022, 2023.
Okay, real recent, yeah. Because I was reading the Amway rules recently, and I came across some reference. I mean, I don't think they use the term HyperWallet, but there was some kind of a reference to a payment processor or something, and I didn't know anything more than that until you were telling me, you know, more detail about it. But it's just interesting to me, you know, what would have caused Amway to want to do that? Are they just trying to outsource a cost to somebody, you know, else? I can't think of any other reason to do it that way.
If it's part of PayPal, it's a global, literally banking system. So they can convert, you know, the guys in Canada that are buying stuff into U.S. dollars or U.S. dollars into Canadian dollars if you're paying somebody, or if they happen to be in Thailand or they happen to be in China, or they might have to be in some other places. I don't know if PayPal does business in China, but the reality is PayPal is like one of those really good companies that knows how to do international business and handles all of the international variables that you have to handle on a day-to-day basis, so or an instant-by-instant basis based on fluctuations in currency. So it's a smart move. I'm not so sure if I would have picked PayPal as the smart move.
Yeah, right. Good points. Good point with all the, you know, the different countries and the valuations that change by minute, right? It's not even daily. It's constant that you have different conversions going on. So it is pretty complicated when you think about it in those terms. That's a really good point, Peter. I think it's across the company. I don't think it's just LTD. I don't know that for sure. But certainly you were told, Mo, basically this is the way it's going to be unless you don't want to get any bonuses.
So, that's crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
It's a pretty strong option to take. So did that cause, from your experience, people to question it, or was it kind of passed off as just kind of a minor thing?
I think no, people didn't really think anything of it. You know, I think a lot of people there were still in the, attending weekly conferences, weekly sessions, and they were still active in the business. They just didn't really, they just went along with it. You know, they didn't really think anything of it. And, you know, my upline was, like, trying to promote it and stuff, and, you know, I just didn't really bother with it. So that was just kind of like the nail in the coffin for me. You know, after that, I just decided, you know what? Yeah, I'm done, you know?
Right. Yeah, I mean, if that had happened to me, I think I would have said, well, as long as I'm getting paid, it's not a big deal.
Yeah.
Like, if that's all I knew, hey, as long as I'm getting paid, then it's not a problem. Now, to Peter's point, I wonder if they were taking some of that bonus money that used to come to you. I don't know if you were looking at it that closely to see if your bonuses changed slightly in a downward direction. Do you recall anything about that?
I mean, yeah, even before Hyperwallet even existed, sometimes the bonuses would fluctuate. And I think there were several reasons for that. I mean, I think, like, during the in Amway's fiscal year, like, during the first few months or 6 months or so, you would get, like, if you did 150 PV and you reported your customer volume, you know, you would get a $50 bonus or something. And after, like, 6 months, it would, like, drop down to, I don't know, 10 or 12 bucks.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So that was even for people that had been in for a few years, right? That
yeah,
would get
yeah,
that
definitely.
Bonus. Interesting, because I'm familiar with that type of a thing for people just getting started. Like, if you, you know, do certain things like a certain amount of retail sales and a certain amount of new recruits, that you would get $75 or whatever if you could do that within the first 3 months. But that's interesting that they've expanded that to even people who had been in for a few years. To give them bonuses for reporting, and I'll emphasize that report, that word I mean, reporting retail sales.
Yeah.
Whether they had legitimate retail sales is a whole different question, and something the FTC obviously should be aware of and look into. I know we're making light of it, but, I mean, come on, that's cheating. That's lying. You know, that's basically you know, fraud when you're doing that stuff. I know when I was taught, it was really passed off very nonchalantly, like, oh, yeah, we worked this out with the company. It's no big deal. You know, just do this. Now, the other major technique that I've heard of, I was never taught this, but I know that other people have been, and that's where you basically, you know, find a neighbor or relative that lives nearby and you use their name and their credit card, their address. You have the products delivered to their house, and it looks perfectly, you know, legitimate because everything is there. But then when the products arrive, you go over there and you pick them up and you give them a check for, you know, the bill that came in on their credit card. So they're not out any money, but that's another technique that is used. And obviously, it's a little bit harder to uncover that. You know, you have to really start asking questions of those so-called customers. I suggested to the FTC what you ought to do is interview former IBOs and get their input on what they were taught, just like both of us were taught. Then they'll see what's really going on versus the mirage, right, that's out there, you know, that's going on. So we're kind of getting towards the end of our time here, Mo. This has been a fascinating almost hour and a half. was there anything that you were thinking of before you got on the show or you thought of during the show that you wanted to mention? Was there anything along those lines that we – you know, didn't cover?
No, not that I can think of right now.
Okay. I appreciate you coming on. I always appreciate people that do this, particularly people that we're in recently, because it gives us a really good update on what's really going on right now versus, you know, us old folks that were in years ago Because sometimes you'll hear complaints like, well, that's what it used to be like, but it's changed. Well, I can tell you, talking to Mo and many others over the past few years, nothing's really changed. You know, the internet's come along. You know, there might be some little minor differences, but by and large, it's the same thing. You know, the tool scam is the same thing. The lack of retail sales is the same thing. And those are the two big tickets that I see as far as – because Peter and I are not anti-MLM. We're just, hey, if you're not doing it right, then you ought not to be doing it. And that's why we're doing this show and other things, is to bring more attention to that aspect. I do know there's people out there that are just completely anti-MLM, just – they just hate it. Now, they couldn't tell you why. They couldn't even tell you what a pyramid is, but it's a lack of retail sales. But they just hate it. And so you can't really talk with those kinds of people because they don't understand hardly anything. So it really is interesting. Peter, did you have any other last ideas or thoughts?
No, it's all good stuff. It's all good stuff. So, Mo, we certainly appreciate you being here, and thanks for taking time out of your busy day to be here. And I know that there probably was a lot of positives that you pulled out of it as well. I think you said you maybe it might have helped convert you as far as religion is concerned. So that's a really good thing, if you consider that a really good thing. Then the idea that you probably read some great books and you hung around with some really good people and may not have been a financially great venture for you, but maybe it was. Maybe you would have done some goofier things, you know, so maybe since Amway tied you up, you didn't do anything really dumb. So, you know,
right.
the parts of our life we can never replay, but the reality is that it would have been better if there was a happier ending. And just one little brief thing, we bring up Brighart every once in a while. It was just an interesting nostalgia tidbit. I used to work with a gentleman who had an office in Ponte Vedra, Florida. Ponte Vedra is a ritzy area outside of Jacksonville, south of Jacksonville on the beach or near the beach. And one of the guys that did car detailing, this has the details of this has nothing to do with anything except for just validating that it was a real story happening by me. As an older gentleman whose name was Jeffrey, and Jeffrey said, oh, I knew that Brighart guy. Brighart used to hide his pickup truck from the repo guy behind this gas station that I used to work at. So Brighart went from like the surfer dude who was in debt high enough when he was younger that he used to, that his pickup truck was on under repo. And then he eventually through Amway and the Amway tools business, he lifted himself out of that, probably influenced a lot of people. Would have been nice if he did it the right way, but also wound up, when he joined Mona V, if you were driving north or south on I-95, he bought a building that had a big wall on the outside, if you will, of I-95. So it said Mona V. Now, most people probably drove by it and didn't know what the hell a Mona V was and probably couldn't pronounce it. But he went, and, you know, the guy accomplished a lot of things. It would have been just really nice if he would have accomplished a lot of really good things in an area where there were more winners than losers. So there's my little Brighart story, a little bit of nostalgia for you, for those people who are looking for Brighart.
That's interesting, Peter, because I know Brighart would tell that story too. You know, that was his big thing when he was, you know, on stage telling his story, how he was literally a surfer dude. And, you know, smoke pot or whatever. And, you know, he was just kind of wandering around through life. And then Amway came along and straightened him out, so to speak. not really, but, you know, at least it got him off of being poor and destitute and taking drugs. Other than that,
right.
You can't say too much for it. But,
yeah,
but
the part
yeah.
is, I think what happens is a lot of these people are a little bit like drug addicts in this example, what I'm going to follow through next. They start off not meaning to become and or do anything bad, like Brighart. You know, young guy, surfer dude, heavily in debt, worked his ass off, followed the rules, did whatever system he was in place, and then all of a sudden he looked back and he became who he was, and maybe still doesn't see it. Like, maybe he doesn't get it. But the reality is that he became the type of person that he probably would despise, meaning take advantage of other people. He never meant to do that. It just, that's the way it happened. Just like politicians, just like probably lawyers, you know, just like most people in power, most people, not all, not the ones that grew up in it or grew into it or were inherited by it, but like a big heart, you know, just a young, goofy guy. You could think of almost like the guy from Fast Times at Ridgemont High, Spicoli, you know, whatever his name is, you know, for all those Spicoli kind of dudes. And then all of a sudden just got really good at it and did a, like a Dave Wood, if you remember Dave Wood, probably one of those kind of guys from Empower Network, but just became the kind of people that they would have never dreamed becoming. Same thing with like your Alex Mortons of the world and, you know, all the other types of people out there. Probably started off as good people, and if we're molded, would probably still be good people, but now they just like the dregs of the MLM industry. So back to you, Scott.
Yeah, that's a great way to wrap up the show. And I'll let you close it out, Peter. And again, Mo, thanks for coming on. We really appreciate all of your information and insights. It's been a great show, and we'll do this again next Saturday, Peter.
Yep, and we got those religious holidays coming up, so Good Friday is coming up soon. We'll be back after that, and then obviously Easter's coming up soon after that too, so for all those people that celebrate and Passover and all those other religious holidays, you know, happy holidays. So we'll see everybody next time. Make sure you check out Scott Johnson. He's got his radio show over here on buildingfortressradio.com/Scott-Johnson, and I know he's got a Facebook site. If I get it right, it's facebook.com/Scott-Tex, as in T-E-X, Johnson. So there's a couple of T's in a row there, like three T's in a row, Scott-Tex Johnson. If you're doing it that way, you're spelling it right. We're going to catch everybody next time on Building Fortunes Radio. Mo, thanks a million. Drive safe.
Thank you so much.
You've been listening to Building Fortunes Radio on buildingfortunesradio.com. Thanks for listening. Be sure to check us out every Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time for the designated Building Fortunes Radio segment with Peter Mingle. Be sure to check out the buildingfortunesradio.com website for our featured segments. It's been our privilege to have you listen in. At Building Fortunes Radio, we wish you the success you deserve and are willing to work for. So spread the word, tell a friend, join our newsletter, and go make a difference in your world.